anything that goes into playing somewhere will factor in to my decision. So, you know, I don't really focus on it too much on a daily basis, just because you get into the season, and you know, you're so focused day after day on how you can get better and improve, or keep building on success that we've had as a team.
We're along the same lines as John as far as our mindset, you know, and that's what we can do is win today and try to be a playoff team, and that, you know, that's what our focus is on. But you know, we're not stupid, and we know the situation we're in with John, and I trust John to his word, and I know him very well, and I believe he wants to be here.
Welcome back. Hour number three. It is game night, Habs and Islanders on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue in for Rod Francis. We expect to have Rod back tomorrow. That, of course, John Tavares and head coach Doug Waite of the Islanders. And remember, just before Christmas on TSN 1050 in Toronto.
I don't know why I feel this way, because Tavares has never said this to me directly. I've never heard this from Brisson or anyone deeply associated with him. I think that Tavares would like to play for the Montreal Canadiens. Not saying that he wouldn't like playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's just people go, you're crazy. Like, why would he want to go into Montreal, into a hotbed market like that? You know, and then, you know, things don't go the way. Well, players don't think that way.
And in tonight's game, it'll be Paul Byron at center.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. Before we get serious, how is Philip Deneau doing?
He is home. He is resting. Actually, we are probably, Claude Julien is speaking as we speak. So we're going to get his comments. That's how he knew about Byron, right, Mitch? Byron is actually going to be moved in the middle of the ice tonight.
That's right. Byron's going to play center, and with Dano and Shaw hurt, Fraze and Carr get back into the lineup. And as far as Philip Dano and his health, well, he tweeted out thank you to everybody that sent the messages. He appreciates it. And the Canadians say he's having concussion symptoms, and they're going to be evaluating him every day.
I've seen that twice in the last 2 weeks. I saw Dan Girardi get hit right in the back of the head between the Detroit Red Wings and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it was gruesome. And then obviously you see what happened on Saturday night with Chara and Dano, and you feel terrible. But you know, the one thing that is probably the most troublesome, I don't know if you agree, both Mitches and Dave, how can anybody think that Zdeno Chara did that on purpose?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
It's been out there quite a bit. I've had people actually calling me up saying, do you think he did that on purpose? Like, are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. I've had a lot of, well, you talked to some strange people then, because
I thought Chara handled it unbelievably.
He's, you know, he stayed on the ice. I mean, he's, you know,
no, he went to check on whether the guy was at where he was.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. That's cool that he did that. I wouldn't nominate him as the person of the year in the NHL because of that, but. The only thing that I'm thinking about watching this play out is flashbacks of Pat Chiaretti and Trent McCleary and Donald Daudette almost losing his hand. And
well, the first thing I thought of was Trent, because I was doing that game with Dino Sisto, and the Canadiens trainers and doctors were actually in the medical room, and they were listening to the broadcast. And I had the privilege of coaching Trent in Ottawa, so I knew how tough Trent was. And when Chris Therrien shot that puck in and he hit Trent right in the throat, that's the first thing I thought of. And it was, you know, the doctors in Gaetan Lefebvre, they did an emergency tracheotomy right on Trent on the ice. But, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, Mitch. Honest to goodness, it's the first thing I thought of.
And you know what's strange as you take us back there is I was working as a reporter, and it was the first, and as far as I remember, the only time, and that's when I really got concerned, I thought the worst. Because we're waiting and waiting and waiting. Was it Alain Vigneault coaching?
Yeah, at that time it was Alain.
And we're waiting for the coach to give us an update, and he never made it to the podium after the game. So, and you're seeing the panic in McCleary as he left the ice, thinking, man, Vigneault's not even talking to us. This could be really, really bad.
Well, Dr. Mulder and Dr. Lacroix at the time, and Dr. Lenzner, they were all there, I believe, and Gaetan Lefebvre. Those are the bodies that I remember that were really involved. But I remember hearing the stories afterwards, and you know, you never want to hear anything like, but that's like that. But that's the first thing. When I saw that happen on Saturday night, I was like, oh, man, this is Trent McCleary all over again.
So, Pierre, with Deneau gone and Andrew Shaw, lower body, he's going to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. And they claimed Logan Shaw.
Right.
First of all, let's go there. Logan Shaw.
Sure. Bigger guy, almost 6'4", probably 210, 215 pounds. Gets up and down pretty well for a bigger person. Nothing fancy. Better hand skills than you would think for being more of a depth player. I think he was a third-round pick, if I remember correctly, by Florida coming out of Cape Breton in the Quebec Major Junior League. Grinding type of player. Useful player. I wouldn't say anywhere close to a star. I was surprised when I saw that JT Brown was available on waivers. I was really surprised that Montreal didn't put a claim in on him.
Well, that's why Logan Shaw became available,
correct,
because Anaheim got him.
Yeah, correct.
So you would prefer to have JT Miller?
Well, I would, but it's just they're different types. You know, I've seen Logan play a fair bit. I watched JT Brown be the MVP of the NCAA tournament when he played at Minnesota Duluth. You know, Logan's never been anywhere close to that. So, for whatever reason, JT hasn't been able to really produce offensively this year. He's always been more of a supplemental depth offensive player. He can really skate. He's physical. It just, for whatever reason, I don't think Tampa was in a rush to lose him. I really don't. But for whatever reason, they did lose him, and there you go.
All right. So again, you'd rather have JT Brown than Logan Shaw. But in fairness to the Habs, they had more bodies, and maybe they weren't.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm – this is – you're asking me, like, afterwards.
Yeah.
I didn't know where Andrew Shaw's injury situation was. You know, I watched Radulov this afternoon. The Deneau situation, obviously, your concern was. So they needed a body. They needed an NHL body. And you would have to tell me Mitch Gallo, probably better than anybody else, where's Michael McCarron's game? Because clearly they weren't in a rush to get him.
Well, actually, I watched Michael McCarron last week. I watched him last week in Laval, and his game's not in a good place right now.
He's also been injured.
And he looks like he's behind every play.
So what this tells you when you're watching this, and again, I don't know whether you guys brought this up or not, what this tells you when you see a team at this juncture of the season picking up a player on waivers, they're either got major injury trouble, which is part of it for Montreal, and the other part of it is they don't have a lot of internal answers. They don't have a lot of solutions internally.
Arpan Basu of The Athletic, he suggested earlier today, now this was before we found out through Claude Julien that Paul Byron is going to play center tonight, that why not move Galchenyuk to center and bring up Nikita Sherbak? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it make them a little more threatening offensively? Sherbak is looking good. He's one of the very few guys down in Laval who's actually looking good.
Right.
But it appears this organization just wants to continue to try to win 2-1.
Yeah. Again, until I see them practice, I really can't speak to what they're trying to accomplish. I watched their game, and I want to be completely and utterly fair. I thought Saturday night was one of their better efforts of the year.
It was a fun game, other than what happened.
Really good.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch.
I thought they were good. I thought Carey was good. I really liked Victor Mete's game. I thought the team really cared. They played for one another. They played for their fans. I thought they played a complete game. But, you know, clearly you see what I've been telling you about Boston for a while. They're just a better team. They are. They're just a better team.
Behind the net, Corrali able to keep his balance as McAvoy took a run at Udall and he ducked him. And again, McAvoy chops at him and he takes a terrible penalty. A rookie mistake. Udall takes one for the team and says, there you go, McAvoy. Who grabs Udall, who should shut his mouth right now.
Now, if the Canadians...
Even the announcers get it. Way to go, Dan.
Dan and Sergio are so entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
So Charlie McAvoy gets goaded by Charles Udall. There's 5 minutes to go, and if the Canadians had a power play, they'd put the game away. They didn't. And as soon as he came out of the penalty box, he was on a mission to win that game.
Yeah, he was. Charlie's a superstar. I've been trying to tell you for a couple of years, Charlie's a superstar. He wasn't great today. I watched the Bruins play this afternoon against Dallas. They lost in overtime. He wasn't great today. It looked like he was fatigued or was trying to do too much, but he wasn't great. But he's a superstar. And I read all the columns. It's a two-man race for Rookie of the Year. I read all the columns. Matthew Barzal is one, and he deserves to be in there. And then Brock Besser's another. No, is anybody watching McAvoy play?
Well, I think because he played in the, he was so prevalent in the juniors, and then he jumped into the NHL in the playoffs that some people may not even think of him as a rookie.
Well, that's crazy.
Of course it is.
A lot of these people vote on the award.
I know.
Are you kidding me? Come on.
Away, soft pass, great play by Sagan. Tyler Sagan delays. Sagan scores. Did he wet the sugar there?
That's how the game in Boston ended today.
It was spectacular. It really was. There was the first period, the first 10 minutes was all Dallas. The next 10 minutes was all Boston. Second period, Kari Lehtinen was very good in goal. Third period, Lehtinen was good in goal again. Hudobin didn't have to do a lot till probably the last 3 or 4 minutes. Then it got into overtime, and Matty Grizzlick took a penalty. It was a delayed call. Dallas was really smart. They delayed and delayed and delayed, and they kept puck possession. They wore them out, and that's why you could see Tyler Seguin do what he did. It was magical to watch that goal. It was a great goal.
And so we're going to get back to the Habs in a second, but Jason Spezza was a healthy scratch. It's not the first time.
Yep. I mean, they're paying him a lot of money to score goals, and Jason's not going to be out there for his defense. He's not going to be out there to be dominant faceoff-wise. He's not a matchup player. He needs to score. And one thing I can tell you, again, I don't know if you watched any of it, but Hitchcock's clearly, remember when I told you I got it wrong, Dallas isn't the most improved team, and I thought they would be? Now you watch them play after 40 games, Hitchcock's system's in place. They're good. They're a good team.
Hitchcock's quote on the Jason Spezza scratching quote, he'll play tomorrow. We need a reset. He's got to play better, a lot better. He's capable of it. He's a big part of what we're doing here, but we need a better player, and we'll get one tomorrow.
That's great. That's what you're supposed to do. He didn't crush the guy. He just says, we need better. And Jason knows that. He's been around the league a long time. He knows it.
Just want to throw in the fact that Herb Zerkowski is reporting the Alouettes have released quarterback Darian Durrett.
And he was due a bonus of $150,000 tomorrow.
Didn't you guys just sign a big quarterback?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Freeman.
Correct.
All right.
Former NFLer.
All right, back to back to the Montreal Canadiens and Paul Byron playing center. Apparently it's going to be Drouin between Daniel Carr, who's back in, and Alex Galchenyuk. Byron between Charles Hudon and Max Pacioretty, and Plekanec, Gallagher, and Lekkonen with the fourth line. And how about Delorier?
Well, the big mistake defensively and then playing guilty and scoring a beautiful goal. That was great. It was awesome. I love it when players play guilty.
But he did get caught on the previous goal.
He didn't pay attention to his assignment. He hung the defense out to dry.
But he actually looked like a skilled player on the goal.
Remember when you got him and I told you? He's a much more skilled player than you think. Now, you won't hear me say that about Logan Shaw.
Right.
You know, Logan's going to go up and down his swing. He's going to be serviceable, and his hands aren't bad. But he's not going to have the same kind of, like,
You got to wonder also, Pierre, if the fact that they continue to struggle. Boston had one power play, and they scored within 30 seconds. Their penalty-killing unit is just not getting better, and they're running out of time.
Could he
help in that regard?
Yep. Oh, yeah, he definitely. Yes, absolutely. Great point by you. Absolutely.
It's a very dynamic team. We can obviously put the puck in the net. At times we just haven't defended as well as we would like to. And, you know, we still have a lot of young guys that are, learning the grind of an 82-game schedule. And I'm still learning it, too. You never think you know it all or have it all figured out. So there's challenges throughout the year, but no question we have very good depth.
All right, there is John Tavares, and man, they've got five or six guys who have been lighting it up. Unfortunately for them, Josh Bailey is having a career year, is injured. They've been without Johnny Boychuk for a while. Their problem has been in goal, right?
Goal and on defense. Johnny nailed it. They have had major issues on the back end. I watch all their games, and they miss Boychuk a lot. They've had major issues not having Seidenberg around. He's a useful depth utility defenseman. Yarrow hasn't been great. There's no question Yarrow hasn't been great. He's been okay. Hasn't been great. I thought he was really good at certain times against the Rangers the other day in the blowout win, the 7-2 win. But no, he's got to be better. There's no question. And he can be better. He can be better.
So, Pierre, you heard that clip, and again, it was from before Christmas when Darren Dreger was talking about Tavares, and he just thinks that he wants to play for the Montreal Canadiens. That's a hell of a thing to say publicly, right?
I think it's great. See, this is where I get in fights with hockey people. They're like, nobody really wants to go to Montreal. Baloney! Why wouldn't you want to go to Montreal? It's an amazing hockey city.
Wait a minute. Let's go to the tape and hear Pierre talk about the challenges of attracting free agents.
Yeah, but it's very tough. But why? That doesn't mean that a player doesn't want to go there. It's tough because of educational situations. It's tough because of taxation. Yeah, there's a lot. There's absolutely. But if you're a really good player like John Tavares, and you think that you can be the lead dog to turn a franchise like that around, why wouldn't you want to look at it?
I hope he was able to walk to the rink today, because if they're driving around downtown, that would be a it would probably take them as long to get to the Bell Center as it does to get from wherever he lives to Brooklyn.
Why, what's going on?
Oh, it's just a mess. I mean, like it is in Toronto and like it is in but specifically here, it's never been worse right now.
Right.
Never been worse.
Johnny's obviously a great player. Everybody knows that. The one thing about him is he's going to have mucho options, and I wouldn't write off the Islanders. I wouldn't. I know their new owners very, very well. I really like their head coach a ton. I communicate with their head coach, and I like him a ton, Doug Waite. You know, I think they got a lot of internal selling points there. Plus, they're getting a new building, which is really good, too. And, you know, what's wrong with having it, say, the house that Johnny T built? Because eventually that's what it'll be if he stays there.
Bob McKenzie this morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and a brand-new grandfather, Rick Moffitt. How about that?
Nice.
Congratulations, Rick.
Way to go, Rick.
His representatives, have, as I understand it, to my knowledge, there's not been any negotiation in the sense of a hard proposal. So, hey, JT, here's 8 years, and here's $12 million. Is that going to do it for you? They haven't even got to the point where I think the Tavares camp is entertaining a financial offer.
All right, would that concern you if you're an Islanders fan?
Part of it is because they didn't know if they were going to be able to stay there. They weren't working with Terra Firma, if you know what I mean. Now they are. Now they know. They're staying there. They're getting a building built, and now they know what they can sell and what they can offer. They're going to be very well aware of their revenue streams. There's a lot more, I think, credibility when you present a negotiation. I would not be surprised, just knowing what I know a little bit, if negotiations do start here pretty quick. I know they had some pretty substantial talks last spring into the offseason. I know that for sure.
All right. We're going to finish up with the Habs and Islanders in a couple of minutes with Pierre McGuire. Just wanted to touch on a couple of other items. Calgary won their seventh straight last night.
They were good yesterday, boy.
Dougie Hamilton is on fire. He scored two more goals. Yeah. Mike Smith, Pierre, he's given the Flames something they haven't had since Kiprusoff.
No, I agree. That's a great call, too. That's absolutely true. Mike Smith's been outstanding. But, you know, the guy, it's amazing. In the last seven games, Johnny Gaudreau. Mitch, if you saw him in the street, you'd say there's no possible way that guy's going to an NHL rink to play. He's going to an NHL game to either work the game or to attend and to watch. I'm not kidding you.
I know. Very few guys look like him who've played in the NHL.
Just amazing. I'm telling you, that guy's great. He's not good. He's great. And, they got a lot of good stuff going on in Calgary right now. They're lethal. They're good.
There were a bunch of players yesterday on the ice at the Bell Center who, if you saw them in the street, you'd go, there's no way they'd be on the ice at the Bell Center. And
Linville Club, number 3, from TSN 690, Sean Campbell. Linville Cup, with number 4, the TSN Radio, Dave Trinkadoon. From TSN Radio, Linville Cup, number 5, Mitch Gallo.
Hey, with Gil LaPointe's old number 5. How about that, Pierre? Were you able to hear that?
I heard it. That was good. That was really good.
This is Michel Lacroix.
You're getting a big-time treatment there, Trinidad. That's good.
He scored 2 goals. How about that?
He was bringing it. That's good.
Tell you, have Michel Lacroix announce your name, that energy goes right to your legs.
Well, yeah, but you only have to do it once. These guys have to do it 41 times at home.
Those are small legs. They might even be smaller than Johnny Gaudreau's. All right, how about the Jack Johnson? The Blue Jackets are in a bye week, and he's asked for a trade.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Obviously, and I said this on Ottawa radio this morning, Zach Werenski's really good. Seth Jones is really good. He's not playing ahead of those two guys. David Savard's very good. Nutivaara has really evolved. They like Nutivaara a lot. So you look at it, is he a five or a six on their team? And they're not going to pay him big money because of that. So he's probably figured that out. He knows he's not going to be in the 1-2 slot, and he's probably not going to be in the 3-4 slot. So he's probably figured it out. He's a big part of their team right now, though. Like, their defense is one of their strengths. They're so big and mobile. Losing him would be big. I would be in the market for him if I could. I like Jack a lot. He's a little older now. He's 31. He's not a kid anymore, but he's a good player.
That's Crosby in Price's year, is he not?
He's best friend. Just so people know, he's best friends with Sidney Crosby. He and Sidney Crosby went to Shattuck St. Mary's together. I know there was a time when he was in L.A. talking about Jack, that Pittsburgh tried to acquire him to go along with Christopher Letang. They thought that was going to be a really formidable tandem or a potential great 1-2 on the back end. And part of it was because of his relationship with Sidney. He and Sid are really, really tight.
Oh, Penguins are really starting to roll, huh, with the goals?
Oh, hey, speaking of Sidney, Kessel, and Malkin are jumping through the gym right now. Those three guys in particular. Connor Sherry's been very, very good. They moved Gensel to center. He looks good. They're really starting to crank now.
Yeah, 5-2. They outshot the Rangers, close. 46-20-something.
Did you see Lundqvist? He was angry.
I love the goalies, but I could certainly see through watching Lundqvist through the years, he seems to be getting worse as he gets older. You know, some people have a tendency to get crankier when they get older. I could see why there's some issues occasionally with some of his teammates.
Are you speaking from experience?
Not me. I'm trying to go the other way. I got my crankiness out of my system.
You're great. As you've gotten older, you've gotten mellower.
Yeah, I have a couple of very, very, very important people to thank for that.
Well, that's good, though. I respect that. I'm trying to, follow your lead.
Yeah, but I don't have six holes in my stomach the way that you do. How are you feeling today?
They're close. I feel good. I feel great. Had a great walk today. Big day tomorrow at the doctor. I'm heading in New York tomorrow in the morning. I feel really good. Really good.
Right, that's good to hear. All right. The Islanders have been scoring again. That's not the issue. No. What kind of game would you expect from the Canadians?
Open it up. I mean, if you don't have, and I'm sure Claude's aware of it, it's double trouble because you got Tavares on one line and you got Barzal on the other. And if you don't have a plan for both of them, you got a problem. And it doesn't mean you have to match up at the forward position, but you better have guys ready on the back end. You better have guys ready. They just lit the Rangers up. And where they lit the Rangers up the most in that game, and that's a really good example coming out of the break, is the Rangers, for whatever reason, could not contain off the rush. They made terrible, terrible, terrible reads. So you better be ready because they crisscross all the time. They're coming at you at a high rate of speed. You better be ready for a lot of crisscrossing. You better be ready for a lot of center ice thrust.
I think it helped. I think it just, let me, play my game and got to play lots of minutes and make a deep playoff run and win a championship. So I think kind of everything involved. I had a good coach down there in Seattle that kept me honest as a 19-year-old, So went to the World Juniors. Got a lot of good experience just playing in big games, so I think it was just a good development year.
There is Matthew Barzal.
Can you play that tape again?
About how important it was to go back to junior.
Okay. Nothing to learn down there. I reread it all the time. You know, I'm not going to learn anything to learn. No. Guy might be rookie of the year. If he would have been in the league as an 18-year-old, he would have been on the train back and forth to Bridgeport all the time.
Enjoy the games tonight. There's only three of them.
Well, I watched a ton. Actually, just watched Colorado 3-1 over Anaheim.
Oh, so there's only one of them besides the Habs then.
Yeah, San Jose's playing L.A.
That's it, yeah.
That Colorado team was spunky today.
Spunky,
they were,
huh?
Spunky.
Spunky.
Yeah, they had a lot of enthusiasm. Kind of,
yeah, no, I know. I'm picturing Gallo on the ice. He's kind of spunky on the ice. I asked Campbell for a scouting report. I said, does Gallo have speed? Because a lot of the little guys have speed, right?
Right.
And he said, no, none whatsoever.
So what are we calling him? Like,
Spunky.
What comparable?
I think Spunky is good.
Is he Darcy Tucker?
No, nowhere near that tough.
What about David Desharnais? Because he didn't have a lot of speed. He had quickness.
He's quick. That's a good call.
Don't have his vision.
Okay. Cliff Ronning?
Oh, well, no, he's not a playmaker like Cliff Ronning. That's insulting to Cliff Ronning.
Well, no, I'm just trying to get to where we're going here.
I'm thinking of a very ineffective small NHL player.
Well, no, Because I was going to say, could it be Derek Roy? Because he's on the Olympic
team. He's on the Olympic team now, yeah. We can't talk that way about him anymore. No, he played a long time in the NHL.
Player.
Yeah. No, I'm looking for a bad player.
Oh, a bad player.
A bad small player.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. How tall are you, Pierre?
5'10".
No, that doesn't qualify as small.
Thank you.
Have a great day tomorrow.
You never know. Tomorrow after the doctor, it might be shorter.
Wishing you the best. We'll talk tomorrow.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.